Good morning. Welcome to What's Up Boone County. I appreciate you joining us this November weekend. We're getting close to the holiday season. It'll be Thanksgiving before you know it. And unfortunately, winter is here now. We've had some nice days and we'll have some cold days. But November is pretty much the start of winter, as I've always said. And we hope it's a mild winter. They're talking like it might be a wet winter, but I don't know what that means exactly. Wet in the wintertime normally means snow, and I'm not looking forward to a bunch of snow. But we just have to deal with it. Every year we go through 4 or 5 months of cold and wet weather, and it's that time of year again. But I do appreciate you joining us this weekend. As you know, if you listen to this show regularly, we try to interview and promote the businesses of small town Lebanon. That we've had several shows over the last few months where companies have come in, the Quilt Plus store and the Indiana Owned and Leslie Jane and others come to mind, that we've had people in to talk about the storefront operation that they have started in Lebanon and how happy they are to be here. And it caused me to think about two people who are in the similar business, but it's a different product line. Sherry Goodwin, a longtime Lebanon resident, grew up here, is the owner of the Cedar Tree Kitchen on East Main Street. And we're going to talk to Sherry about her business and how it's going. And her friend Len Winterowski is a Whitestown resident who's a retired scientist from Eli Lilly and Company, who in his retirement years decided that he was going to become a maker of coffee. And he has a specialty coffee known as Mad Scientist Coffee, which he is marketing and selling. You can find it in various places. And we're going to talk to Len about what he knew about the coffee business, when he started, and what he knows now, and why his coffee is better than other coffees that you might be able to buy in stores or in standalone facilities we see up and down the highway. So let's start with Sherry. Welcome to What's Up Boone County. Thanks for being our guest this week, Sherry.
Thank you, Ken. Pleased to be here.
Well, let's talk a little bit about your family and your connection to Lebanon and what you've done in your life up to getting into the Cedar Tree Kitchen business.
Well, I'm born and raised in Lebanon, as well as my husband, John Goodwin. We have one daughter, Allison Goodwin.
And John is a retired teacher at Lebanon High School, was a very popular teacher. How's he doing?
He's doing wonderful. He, in his retirement, goes to the Y regularly and plays pickleball. It's his new thing.
He likes pickleball,
he
huh?
He does.
You know, I played it once, and I've know several people who very much enjoy pickleball. It's competitive, but it's not quite as hard. I don't think it's as hard to work as tennis.
Correct.
People would say, well, if you're any good at it, it's pretty competitive and it's pretty hard work. But in my world, it would not be very hard because I'm not going to work that hard on the pickleball court. But I can see how it would be fun. And your daughter, Allison, where is she these days?
She lives outside of Cincinnati in Dayton, Kentucky. She works for a PR and marketing firm.
And where did she go to college?
She went to Hanover College.
And how long has she been out of school?
She graduated from Hanover in 2020.
So it's been three years, give or take?
Give or take. Mm-hmm.
And so she lives down there in northern Kentucky, just outside of Cincinnati?
Correct.
And she like it down there?
She does. She likes it really well.
And is she married or is she thinking about getting married?
She is engaged. She met her fiancé, Christopher Brashear, at Hanover. So he was a soccer player. She was a golfer. So they ran into each other frequently in the athletic arena and workout rooms and so forth and so on and so forth. And they've been together since then.
So what did you do, Sherry, over the years? I know you've had several jobs and hobbies or interests over the years. What would you say has been your principal occupation over the years?
My principal occupation was a legal assistant. I worked in firms locally and then as well as in Indianapolis. Came back, it was the longest tenure with a firm in Indianapolis, came back to Lebanon just as Allie was getting older and her school activities and so forth were getting increased and unmanageable being out of town. So I was lucky enough to be able to find a position back in Lebanon and work while she was growing up and going through her senior or high school years. And then just kind of stayed in that industry for a while. And then at some point I thought, this is getting old.
Well, it is getting, I can understand how you might think it's getting old. Did you always like to cook?
Yes, absolutely.
Baking was a favorite thing for you to do?
Baking was a favorite thing. I think it triggered my father liked to bake. He didn't do it often, but when he did, it was kind of a family affair, and we're all in there taste testing and doing different things, trying different things that he would make. And then attribute a lot of it to Girl Scouts. When I was in Girl Scouts, there were so many food badges that you could earn, and I always went after the food badges.
So when did you make the decision to get into the baking on a commercial basis, that is, not so where you actually would make food for other people to buy?
It was early in, this is 23, so early in 2021 I actually started working for Mindy Spalding. She had has the Just Us building, and she'd started the coffee shop bakery with the intent of growing it for someone else to take over. She had the other businesses within that brick and mortar also. So she got ready to, she said, I'm either going to close it or sell it. And I had been baking for her, and I said, well, I want to buy it. So that's December of 2 years ago. I bought in, and I rent my space from her, but all the baking, everything is done by me in-house there at the brick and mortar.
So your facility where you have your wares available for purchase and where you bake and make these food items is in the Just Us facility, which is across the street from the Christian Church on East Main Street,
correct?
And you've got a space in there.
Yes.
Because you've got people coming and going in there regularly for hair appointments or other events, correct?
Correct.
But you also have your own customers that know you're there and stop in.
Yes.
To buy what you sell. So what do you sell there?
I sell cupcakes, muffins, brownies, cookies, small cakes. I take orders for, you know, if you're having a wedding shower or a fundraising event, something like that. I have the capacity. My largest order has been around 200 cupcakes within a very short amount of time. So what most people don't realize is, even though I'm a licensed commercial kitchen through the Boone County Health Department and the state, my stove is the same size stove that everybody has in their house. So when I say I'm baking all day, it's because I make four trays of cupcakes at a time. That's all that will fit in my oven. So
you've got to, if you're going to have enough to lash it through a week's your store being open for a week, you've got to have an adequate quantity,
right?
Don't you?
Yes, I bake for the store mainly on Tuesdays, and then if I need to replenish something to get through the week, then I'll bake again on Thursday afternoon, just to get enough to get me through Friday. Because I obviously, if I have product left at the end of the week, I'm not able to sell it the next week. So there's timing involved. There's refrigerator space involved. I appreciate my walk-in customers, but I think some of them don't understand that they can't walk in at noon and say, I want four dozen cupcakes for 5 o'clock tonight. I just don't have the capacity to do that. I would love to do that for them.
Well, in other words, if people will give you a heads up, you can do it.
Absolutely.
But you can't do it on short notice, because it takes a lot of capacity to put that many cupcakes out in a short period of time.
Right.
Well, we're going to come back and talk to Sherry about what she has and how she decides what to make. Let's shift our attention here to Lynn Winterowski. Lynn, where do you and your family live?
Well, my wife Ann and I are both originally from Michigan, but we moved down to Indianapolis area when I had the opportunity to start working at Eli Lilly and Company. So we came down in 1989. We've been here ever since. We moved, I worked at Lilly for 34 years as a medicinal chemist. So I participated in drug discovery, coming up with novel small molecules for Alzheimer's, pain, you know, non-addictive pain medicines, and diabetes. Where'd you
go to college?
Well, my wife and I met at Central Michigan University.
Okay.
But then when we moved to Indianapolis and I started working at Lilly. I went back to school to Butler University and obtained my master's in chemistry from Butler.
And chemistry is the big subject you have to deal with to do what you do.
Correct.
Except chemistry was not my strong suit. I don't know if I'd fit in well in that world, but that's part of what you have to do. And that's a big part of Lilly's business, is it not? Making drugs, testing them, and marketing them, obviously. But you've got to come up with a drug that fulfills a certain need in the marketplace.
Correct. So, yes, and I was blessed to do that for 34 years. It was very challenging. Lilly was very a wonderful company to work for. And made just so many lifelong friends that I still stay in contact with. I retired in August of this year.
August of this year, a couple of months ago?
Just a couple months ago. My wife and I we've lived for about a year and a half in Whitestown. We were Southsiders. Our kids went to Center Grove.
Okay.
But then we had four children, when they all left the house, we decided we wanted to move to the north side. So we love Lebanon.
You and everybody else moved to Whitestown.
We love Whitestown. We love Lebanon, Carmel, all the areas in Boone County. Love the trails and everything that the north side has.
So when you made the decision to retire, because you're not really that old. I mean, how old were you when you retired?
I'm only 57.
All right. So you're able to do that at Lilly and retired. Did you retire in part because you wanted to try this mad scientist coffee idea?
Yes, I started roasting coffee as a hobby in 2015. One morning I was doing my morning devotionals, drinking a cup of coffee like I did every day. And as a scientist, I looked at the coffee and I realized I have no idea where coffee comes from. And scientists are curious people. So that started a journey that I'm still on with coffee. I started researching where coffee comes from.
You know, all I know about it is the commercials, the Colombian coffee bean or whatever. Are they mainly from that climate, South America?
Yeah, they have to be in a tropical climate, usually different elevations. So they're from South America, Africa, Indonesia, even Dominican Republic. Hawaii is a big coffee producer. So as I started learning about the coffee, that ignited a desire to actually buy a little coffee roaster, and I did.
So you can buy that at Costco or someplace like that?
No, I bought it online. It's called a Bmore. It basically looks like a microwave oven, but it has a 1-pound drum roaster inside that turns, and coffee comes green. So it's actually a fruit. It's like in a berry.
It's a coffee bean is a fruit. It's not a vegetable.
Well, it comes from a fruit.
I see.
So
right.
The coffee fruit, you need to, the beans inside. So you get rid of the fleshy part either, with a water processing, or you just lay it out. In some of these countries, they'll just have these large areas where they lay out the coffee and just let it rot, basically. And then once you clean and isolate the green coffee, you can't drink it that way. That's what needs to be roasted. And it's much like popcorn. So when you heat it, it's got water content and it pops. And in the coffee world, we call that first crack. So it has to at least be roasted like popcorn. You can't just eat the seeds past first crack. And then it becomes the coffee that everybody's familiar with. It starts like a green, waxy bean, and it becomes the more brittle, darker coffee. And the longer you roast, the darker the coffee, the less, it's kind of like a steak. If you buy a steak, if you burn it, it's going to have one taste, mostly by the caramelization process. And you're probably not going to buy an expensive steak if you're going to burn it, right?
Yeah.
Because you're more interested in the burnt taste. Same with coffee. So a lot of places that, people say, oh, it tastes burnt, probably is because it's cheap coffee.
All right.
Where we buy more expensive coffee from smaller farms, sustainable farms that are fair trade, which means we pay the coffee farmers a better price for their green coffees.
So like anything else, you get what you pay for to some extent, and you get better product, you're going to have a better output, correct?
And we don't burn the coffee, so much like a good steak, if you just stop the roasting after first crack, it's called what people are familiar with, like a blonde coffee or a medium roast. Then you can taste the subtle differences, say from a Sumatra coffee that tastes more earthy versus a Ethiopian Yirgacheffe coffee, which is a sweeter tasting, fruitier coffee. And you can taste, much like wines, some people can taste the differences.
Well, a lot of people think they can, but they talk like they can, and they have preferences. Obviously, there's literally tens of thousands of brands of wine, I've learned.
Yes.
And it's all wine to me. I know red versus white, and that's about it. But everybody has their preference. You know, yes. Some people like Coke, some people like Pepsi, some people like Diet Coke or something else. So, you know, I get it. Well, we're going to continue our conversation with Lynn Winterowski about his company, Mad Scientist Coffee, and how it works. And we're going to go back and talk to Sherry Goodwin about the Cedar Tree Kitchen and kind of how that operation works after we take a moment to hear from our sponsors. We're back with What's Up Boone County this November weekend, talking with Lynn Winterowski, the founder of Mad Scientist Coffee, and Sherry Goodwin, the owner of the Cedar Tree Kitchen here in Lebanon. Let's stay with Lynn for a minute. So tell me about your coffee. First of all, how'd you come up with the name, Mad Scientist Coffee?
Well, my kid suggested the name because I'm a scientist. And
you're mad, too.
No, I'm not mad. It's just kind of a cute name.
Yeah? All right. And so what's different about your coffee than all the other coffees you can get in the grocery store or along the interstate or at the fast food restaurants?
Well, as I started learning about coffee, what I realized is a lot of people don't like the bitter taste, so they put cream and sugar in it. And a lot of people put a lot of cream and sugar to cover up the bitter, burnt taste of coffee. So I wondered, as a scientist, as a chemist, if I could figure out a safe, efficient way to reduce the bitterness of coffee.
Without having to just load it up with the
sugar
and cream and all that.
Correct. And what I realized is a lot of the bitter taste comes from the acidic chemicals that are in coffee, natural chemicals that are in coffee. So I came up with a formulation where we roast the coffee, we grind it, we use very safe food grade minerals that are already in many of the things we eat or drink. And I realized I could change that profile so that it's less bitter, less acidic. And I've had a lot of people tell me that they can drink my coffee, that a lot of coffee bothers their stomach, but they come back. I have a lot of repeat customers that buy it for that reason. But for me, it's mostly about the taste. I just don't like bitter coffee. And a good medium roast is less bitter than a darker roast. However, with what we do, it's very mild. And I know Sherry has many customers. We sell.
That's one of the areas where you can find your coffees in Sherry's store, correct? So where do you get your beans?
Well, I started roasting in the basement and then ended up with three roasters. And when I invented the silk coffee, I couldn't keep up because I was working all day. I had a day job. I was getting up at 4 in the morning to roast coffee and try to fulfill.
You have a brand called Silk, S-I-L-K.
That is our low acid, less bitter. And it's available in decaf, regular, and a high calf, a caffeine version that we call polonium silk. That honors Madame Curie, who is the first woman in science to win the Nobel Prize.
Is that right?
In fact, she won two. So also as a science themed company, I try to educate. So even our polonium coffee on the back of the bag talks about Madame Curie and her contributions to science.
Sure.
And it's even orange because polonium metal, she got one Nobel Prize for her discovery of the elements polonium and radium. It glows orange when it's exposed to air. So I have the silk coffees, but also you'll see a science theme throughout all of the branding of my products.
So do you work with somebody now to help you make the stuff?
Yes. Because I couldn't keep up, now I've partnered with Good Sense Coffee, I told you, from Michigan. They're in South Lyon, Michigan, and he is able to make hundreds of pounds and thousands of bags of coffee if necessary. So now I can sell online, I can stock it in stores, local stores, grocery stores, wherever people are interested in wanting to partner with me.
It's hard to get your product into the grocery stores, isn't it? Because there's so much competition for space. So you have to start with places like Sherry's business and and farmers markets and places where you can get out to the public and they can start to see it and they can find it. Yes. So if somebody wanted to try your coffee other than Sherry's business here in town, are there places around here that you can buy your product?
Well, you can always get it online.
All right. And the website is what?
MadScientistCoffee.com.
All right. That makes sense.
And so they can get it online.
And they'll order it. You can ship it directly to them.
Right. It'll come right from our roaster directly to their home. If it's local, they can have free local pickup. I'll deliver it to, you know, the local towns around Whitestown for $5. Or it's a flat fee of $7.99 to ship. But if you order over $50, it's free shipping.
And how much is a bag of coffee?
$16 for all our coffees.
And is that pretty competitive, you think?
Yes. For a good quality coffee that we produce, yes, it's very competitive.
All right. So your plan to just grow this business and have it available in more and more locations, is that the goal long term?
Yeah, that's the dream. But I'm a research scientist trying to learn business. So it's a process and it's fun. It's a different kind of challenge.
So it's worked out well for you, though. So how long have you been in this business?
Since 2015, but as I had a day job, a demanding one. So since I retired in August, I've really ramped it up.
Does your wife help you in the business?
No, she likes coffee, so I have an espresso machine at home, and I'm her personal barista.
So what is espresso? How's that work? How's it different?
Well, espresso is, if you go into any coffee shop and you hear the steam going, that's espresso is basically, it's a fancy machine that you put your coffee beans in and something called a portafilter, and it forces high-pressure water through it. And you get a shot of coffee called espresso, a single or a double shot. And that base is used for a lot of the coffee drinks you get in, you know, Starbucks or any of those.
Well, a lot of these stores, it almost becomes addictive, doesn't it? I mean, I don't mean that in a negative sense, but these people, they just love their Starbucks. And they're paying a lot of money for their glass, that cup of coffee, aren't they?
Well, caffeine is one of the most consumed chemicals in the world, that and alcohol. But caffeine in moderation can help with focus and, you know, help people do their jobs and wake up. It actually works. It's an adenosine A2A receptor antagonist.
Now you're using some big words here, aren't you?
So if you go to the website, you see the beautiful art. That's an adenosine receptor. So what caffeine does, it's kind of, think of like a goalie blocking a goal. Adenosine builds up in your brain over the day. And as it binds with its natural receptor in the brain, it makes you sleepy. So caffeine is like a goalie. It blocks the ability of the adenosine to bind to its natural ligand in the brain, and that keeps you alert. So
I become a scientist today listening to you talk about this stuff.
I love it.
So MadScientistCoffee.com is where you can find it online, and you can learn about the products, and you can go to Sherry's store, Cedar Tree Kitchen, and try it out. And you can order it, and if you like it, you can order more.
It's also now available in Shop Small, Shop Handmade in Crawfordsville, Indiana.
Okay.
So she just, Jessica just picked it up there too.
Well, good. All right. Well, I congratulate you, Lynn, on your effort, and I hope this works out for you. I'm sure it'll work out fine because it's not like you're doing it to live on. You're doing it as a hobby, but you'd like it to be a successful hobby.
Yes.
So, all right, Sherry, tell me a little bit about when you're open down there at Cedar Tree Kitchen.
Well, this is kind of my semi-retirement job also, and so I am open to the public on Wednesday, Thursdays, and Fridays. Wednesday is from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and then Thursdays and Fridays is 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. But I always tell people, if you see the bakery lights on, I'm probably there baking, so knock on the door. And if I have product to sell, I will sell it to you. But Tuesday is my big bake day. I'm always in the bakery on Tuesday. Again, I'm not open, but that's the day I do primarily all my baking for the week. And then on Thursday, I kind of judge what I might need for Friday and rebake or restock on Thursday if I need to.
So what are the most popular food items you have?
Most popular are the blueberry muffin, which is a recipe that I got from Mindy Spaulding when she had the bakery. I've tweaked it just a little bit. and it is by far the best seller, my blueberry muffin. I do small batches, so I don't make 100 blueberry muffins at a time. I make 12. So if you really love the blueberry muffins, it's best to call ahead on Monday afternoon or Tuesday. Leave me a message, say I want 6 of them, and I'll have 6 of them for you.
So we've got Thanksgiving coming up and Christmas not too long after that. So if people know we have family or friends around, this would be a perfect opportunity to get some cupcakes or some brownies or some muffins.
Yes, my brownies are legendary also, and it is my recipe my dad came up with. So I hold that recipe near and dear to my heart when I'm making that, and they are excellent for after dinner desserts, snacks for the kids after school. But routinely through the week, I will make 3 different flavors of cupcakes as well as 3 different flavors of muffins, and I rotate them through to keep it fresh. You know, I have some people who love this type of muffin or that type of muffin, and they'll come in and say, oh, you don't have that one today. So I'll put it back in the lineup next week.
Well, and the bottom line is you're in business to sell food. And if somebody wants to make an order and let you know that they will buy it, you'll make it.
Exactly.
Correct?
Right. I have one guy who he wants his 4 blueberry muffins for Saturday morning. So he comes in Friday, and I have Friday afternoon before I close, and I have his 4 blueberry muffins for him every Friday afternoon.
And people need to remember that if they wanted a dozen of this or 2 dozen of that, they really need to give you a little bit of warning, don't they?
Yes, they do. They can go to the website, which is cedartreekitchen.com.
Cedar Tree, and cedar is C-E-D-A-R, correct? Treekitchen.com. And it gives people the product information, the pricing, the hours, availability, alternatives, all that sort of thing, correct?
Always call me on my cell phone. I do have people call on bake days. I'll probably have 2 or 3 messages today. If I don't answer, by all means leave me a message, because I'm probably elbow deep in flour and just can't get to my phone right then, but I will call back.
Do you have employees that help you kind of keep the place open or help you make the foods, or do you pretty much do it yourself?
No, I am a one-woman shop, and that's another thing. I do as much as I can in my small little bakery. My oven is a size that everyone has in their home. I don't have a big, you know, 4-door commercial oven. So.
Well, I can represent, truthfully, that the food is great. I've had the brownies, and I've had the muffins in a couple of events I was at, and I think people will enjoy it. And I encourage them to give Cedar Tree Kitchen a look. And if you're a coffee drinker, I certainly recommend Lynn Wenerowski and Mad Scientist Coffee. You may very well like it for not being as acidic or bitter as what people typically find. And I wish both of them well. And I thank them for coming in, being on my show this week.
Yep. Thank you, Ken.
You're welcome. I'm glad to have you. I do not know who we're going to have next week on What's Up Boone County, but we'll have another person in who has an effect on the quality of life in our community. Hope you have a great weekend. We'll see you next week on What's Up Boone County.